Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And I truly just get so excited to bring these new episodes to listeners every week. They're just stories of inspiration. I know that this journey can be a very dark journey. It's a tough journey. Oftentimes we lose hope. And that's why I do this podcast, is to bring on these Lyme people that have conquered Lyme, share their journey, talk about, you know, the darkest moments of their journey, and then how they've overcome it all, and just share to give that hope and inspiration that we all need so terribly bad. So I hope that's what you get out of this episode. I'm excited to welcome onto the show, Catherine. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to hear your journey.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share it.
Awesome. We just need to have our voices heard, right? Because So many times they're very, very similar, but very different. And maybe somebody listening in can hear you say one thing and it may, you know, spark their mind thinking, oh, I haven't addressed that, or you know, whatever it may be. So let's pick it apart for any information that we can pull from it. But then again, like I said before, mostly just that hope and inspiration that wherever you are in your journey, you can get well. We promise you, we're both pictures of it, right?
That's right. Yep.
All right. So where do you want to start? How long ago does your journey start?
Yeah, I went on a hike with a friend in Missouri in 2015. And it was in the summer. I was getting ready to move to Nashville in the fall. And when I got back from the hike, you know, I jumped in the shower and then I was stretching and I saw a piece of dust move on my ankle. And I was like, what the heck is that? And so I jumped back in the shower and I scrubbed my ankles really well. And I had put on bug spray. I get bitten by mosquitoes all the time. And so I definitely sprayed on bug spray. But we had to cross this little creek. And I don't know if my bug spray washed off. I don't know if it would have mattered. But I had about probably 20 tick bites around my ankles, like right where my sock line was. And they were obviously really tiny. A piece of dust moved on my ankle. Yeah. And so I was, you know, looking at to make sure that everything was removed. In hindsight, talking to other people, I wish that I had washed my ankles in dog flea and tick shampoo, but I didn't think about that. And so for the next 2 weeks, I had the worst like blister bites all across my ankles that I couldn't sleep through the night. And they were just so bad. And I'm pretty like I always want to try the natural way first if I can. And if it doesn't work, then I can move on to something else if necessary. But I went out and got the clear thing is to put over the bite so they'll stop itching. I finally just got that because I was like, this is crazy. And then I was starting to pack and move and I would say about a month later, I just felt crazy while I was moving. I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't get myself to like get up in the morning to pack. And I was really excited about moving, but it was like, I would get up and I couldn't collect my thoughts. I couldn't get my body to like do what it wanted to do. I was just tired and overwhelmed, like to the extreme. And I just rationalized everything. I was like, I guess I'm more emotional about this move than I thought. Once I did actually move, I got a new mattress. So I thought, well, I'm just not used to this mattress. That's why, you know, I'm a little bit achy in the morning, you know, things like that. Just everything seemed to have a reason. I never had a bullseye mark. After the 2 weeks, there was nothing that happened with the bites or anything that made me think, and you know, anything had prolonged. my dad is a retired physician. And so when I was a kid, he always warned me, you know, if you ever get a bullseye, like we need to take care of it. So I knew that much, but that's all okay.
Which is a lot more than yeah. I knew. And a lot of people know, unfortunately, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't, of course, I didn't know that because, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know what's kind of common to your family versus other people. And so, the next year I started grad school and I was teaching higher ed at the time and going to grad school, and I was drinking coffee like it was going out of style, and it was just not doing anything for me. And I had a conversation, I remember, with one of the other grad school students, and he was like, yeah, it's like it doesn't even have effect anymore. And I was like, yeah. So then I just stopped drinking it again. And anyway, 4 years later.
Let me just stop you for one second. Sorry. Okay. So you're just coming up with all these excuses, right? There's another one. Your grad student next to you, coffee doesn't work for him either. So it's normal that it's not working for me, right?
That's right.
And then looking back on when you're trying to move and pack. And yes, I will say maybe we are a little bit more emotional sometimes when we're actually in the thick of what we're doing, whether it be a move or whatever it is. But yeah, I just constantly coming out with these rationalities of why, but then you know that I need to pack, but your brain can't make your arms and your hands actually do the work.
Yeah.
And then grad school, and then, you know, all that's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, moving, grad school, all of that. So, all right, go on. Sorry. I just wanted to point that out. It is so crazy how we want to make an excuse for everything, kind of almost like what doctors do with us, right? We kind of do it with ourselves. Yeah,
for sure. And I have enough scoliosis to be annoying. So then there were times like I would wake up and like the left side of my neck and my shoulder were, you know, so tight that I couldn't move. Well, that happened, you know, at various times throughout my life. So there were just, again, things like that I'm rationalizing. It's like, oh, well, it's this, you know. 3 years afterwards, my right knee swelled for 3 days. And like I had a regular massage therapist, and so she worked on it, and you know, it just lasted for 3 days. And I thought, well, I just, again, rationalizing, I just twisted it, or I just did something. And, you know, talking to her regularly, you know, and the lymphatic system and all these things, it was like, okay, well, something's just blocking that. Like, I mean, I
know enough about my body to sort of, you know, be dangerous, to kind of know what's going on. And I just figured that my, you know, the lymphatic system, it was like blocked behind my knee, you know?
Makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. A reason for everything. So, another year. So 4 years after I'd been bitten, it was my last semester of grad school. And so, you know, stressful, like you're about to graduate. I found like a golf ball sized cyst in one of my breasts, and, I, you know, freaked out. I went to the doctor and got a mammogram, and she was like, it's fine. But that was sort of the tipping point for me. I was like, this is not normal for me. Like, I've never had one of these. And at the time I was my early 30s, mid 30s. And so anyway, I started to ask around for a doctor that people suggested. And somebody recommended this functional medicine MD named Dr. Summer White at the Vitality Clinic in Nashville. And I went over to her, and it was amazing because she gave me a very long questionnaire to fill out before. And then she talked to me for an hour and a half. And again, like my dad being a retired physician, you know, I was pretty good at going to the doctor regularly. But there was just something, I really feel like it was the Lord that led me to her, where it was like, I need this doctor, because at the end she knew what I had. She had had Lyme disease. She knew about mold illness, and she thought that I had mold illness at the same time, but she named like several things. And she said, you know, we're going to test you for all of these things. But she said, I think you have Lyme disease. And she said, there's usually a co-infection with that. I think you have mold illness. your adrenals sound like they're shot. I mean, by the time the list was done, I had mast cell activation syndrome too, because it's all a domino effect, you know? And yep. So I told her when she mentioned mold, I said, well, I just bought my house 4 years ago and I had it tested for mold and it came back fine. And so she said, okay, we'll start with Lyme. And we didn't talk about mold again. I don't know how much in depth you want me to go into like the treatment and all of that.
Yeah. So it sounds like, and I never want to use lucky when we talk about Lyme, right? No part of this is lucky, but it sounds like you got kind of lucky being directed to the doctor that could actually help you, not even knowing that you had Lyme disease, right? Just that, you know, lump in your breast that you found, it just was kind of this trigger that, okay, I'm thinking of all these things back for the past 4 years. No, like it's too random, right? Too random. And so then yeah. Your daughter, she immediately says, you know, I think you have Lyme disease. I think you have this. Yeah. Okay. So you're pretty sure you don't have mold, right? So now we're going to just go with the Lyme treatment, you know, probably the mast cell, probably Epstein-Barr, probably co-infection, you know, the whole kind of like my title, Lyme and Beyond, right? It's not just Lyme. It's everything right. else too. So where did we go from there? Like, what did your treatment initially look like and how did it make you feel?
Yeah, she gave me, sorry, I'm laughing because I was taking the drops today and one single drop fell on the counter. And I thought, I remember when I used to have to count five of those drops because five of those drops would send me into more symptoms, like more detoxing symptoms, more herxing symptoms. So I used a BioPure cocktail and a whole bunch of other supplements. And I was pretty good about just being on supplements before that, you know, multivitamins and things like that. But she gave me just some specific ones to help detoxing. She also discovered that my body doesn't detox very well in general, and a couple of things specifically. So she was really helping me with that. So I had to start with these
drops. Did you have the MTHFR mutation? Did she test yes. you for that? Because one of the genes, yeah. and so you had that yeah. works against our detoxing, right?
Yes. So I think, I can't remember if I knew that before I saw her or not. I don't think so. I don't think I did. So she gave me a specific B complex, methylated B complex to take. And then, yes. And then like NAC and some other things to help detox. And so when I started taking these drops, I misunderstood the directions. And so,
sorry, yeah. No, probably not no. funny, right?
No, it is. That's why I was laughing because I said this one drop on the counter this morning. So I misunderstood the directions and I just thought I was supposed to dilute it in water. I didn't understand that I had to work my way up to prevent herxing symptoms. So I put a full drop in water. And for the first week, I had really bad herxing symptoms. Every symptom that I had had in the last 4 years came back that week. And it started with what I thought was like a cold. And I was getting a dog. I was getting a puppy. So I had this head cold and I'm starting to feel crazy again. And I go pick up the puppy. And of course I'm excited, but I'm also really scared that I can't do this because I agreed to get the puppy before I got diagnosed. And so I've already put down my money and everything. And I, on one hand, I totally appreciate that she never really told me how long the journey could be or how hard it could be. It was just like, we're going to get you better. So I was always sort of overly optimistic where I was like, oh, by the end of the month, I'll be better. Or, oh, in a few weeks, I'll be better or whatever. So to me, I was like, okay, it might be hard in the beginning with the puppy, but it'll be fine. I had her one night and I called the breeder back and I said, I'm really sorry. I said, I got diagnosed with Lyme disease. I just started my treatment this week. And it was like, I don't know, 4 days in or something, maybe 7 days in. Can you hear my dog? Okay, perfect.
No, the famous dog we're talking about. I do not hear her.
So I ended up taking that dog back. The dog I have now actually is the nephew of that puppy. So that's kind of sweet, very redeeming.
Yeah.
But I was just, again, I felt crazy. And I thought the only other time I've ever felt like this was about a month after I had those tick bites. And so since she had told me about, you know, that I had Lyme disease and I had Bartonella, which is also known as cat scratch fever. And that has to do with like your eyes and sort of an inflammation. My understanding is like an inflammation of the lining of your veins. And so some of the symptoms that I had, she thinks were more that. And then later we would find out more. Some of the symptoms were probably mold related, but all of these things, it's hard to differentiate, of course, which is which, especially when you have all of them at the same time.
Almost impossible. Yes. So can you explain a little bit more as when you say you felt crazy, can you kind of dig a little deeper into that? Because I know that there's probably a listener out there that is wondering, right, if they're crazy, you know, this could be a symptom of Lyme. So kind of break it down to us.
That's a great question. I was struggling with word recall. So again, I'm in my early 30s when this happened. I was struggling with word recall. And as an introvert who was teaching higher ed, there was a certain level of that that was kind of normal where I would just, you know, be talking about something, but it was so frequent that I could notice a change in it. I was so overly emotional without really having a reason, especially when I was having the Herxing symptoms and starting the treatment, because I wasn't moving, like nothing major was changing at that point. And I just, that week, I could not stop crying. So thinking back to about a month after I had been bitten, it was very similar, where just anything could set me off for no reason, where I'm just crying and just can't stop. So much brain fog, so much brain fog, like just can't follow a train of thought. I've always been a big like paper to-do list person. So that is literally how I could get anything done. But I would just be so exhausted all day long. And I was a night person before, but I would be so exhausted all day long. And then finally at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, I would get some sort of burst of energy. And I would think, well, I have to do something because I couldn't get any of this stuff done during the day. And then I would stay up till midnight or one doing that one thing and then sleep till like 11 the next day if I had the option to. So all of that, I know now in hindsight, was, you know, were neurological symptoms. But at the time, again, you kind of rationalize sometimes or think, you know, what's going on? This is, you know, moving or whatever.
And kind of like you said earlier, you thought, oh, maybe I'll be better in a month or so. You probably weren't super familiar with the process of a Lyme treatment journey, right? So you didn't really know what to expect. And it's interesting, you said a couple of times that you were very emotional, and it sounds like you had Bartonella too. You know, Bartonella, I believe, is the one that really can cause you that rage, that anger. You had that too. Okay. I was wondering if it was like maybe the opposite for you. So instead of being angry, you're just so emotional, but you had it all. Of course, you're an overachiever, right?
Well, it's funny. I forgot when you mentioned that, I was like, oh yeah. Cause I would be overly emotional. And a lot of times if I got angry, I would just cry. But I remember when I moved into my new house, I had called, the cable guy to come connect my internet. And they didn't show up when they said they were going to, and I was just there for the weekend. And so I called them, and I can hear myself yelling at this person on the phone. And I'm like, who is this person? This is so not me. Like I'm not that way, you know, like I'll stand up for myself, but I've never yelled at someone I don't know, you know? And I was just like, cancel the order. I don't want it. And I was like, what is going on? Who is this person? And again, that's when I was moving. So I thought, oh, this is just really hard for me, apparently. Like I just had no idea this was going to be that hard. So yeah, a lot of irritability, a lot of irritability. So brain fog, exhaustion, irritability, and overly emotional were probably my top symptoms for Lyme and Bartonella.
Okay. So it sounds like Dr. White did, you know, not antibiotics, not the traditional, right? She did more of a holistic approach.
Sorry. that, so I was on a treatment for a whole year. I did cocktail and worked my way up on that. And once I did the full dosage of cocktail, I think I was on that for 3 or 4 months. And she had a very specific antibiotic that I had to order from an online pharmacy. And I would take that for a month. And then I would go off of it for a month so that she could build my gut health back up. And then I went back on it for a month and then off of it. So I did 2 months non-consecutively of the antibiotics. And then I continued on the cocktail. And a year later, I was feeling better, but I still wasn't like well. And so she said, okay, now I want to test you for mold. And all this mold came back. And she said, let's test your house. She knew that I was, you know, that I'd worked in universities and things like that. She said, it could be your workplace, but I want to test your house. And it was all over my crawl space. And the water from my, on my property, all the lowest point was the crawl space door. So all the water from the side of my house would go under the crawl space door when it rained really hard. And that was so maddening because I had to get that remediated. She recommended a remediator that she had met at a conference, and he's awesome. His name is John Wurgis. If you're in Nashville or Indiana, I can't remember where in Indiana, but he's amazing. And they had a really great relationship where they both made recommendations for me in that process. But I ended up remediating that. He gassed my house after that. And then I also regraded the side of my house, and insurance did not cover any of that because there was a clause in there about if water drainage was the cause that they wouldn't cover the mold. So basically,
of course, right? That's how insurance companies work. Whether it's health, homeowners, doesn't matter. They're all the same. Okay. So I have a question. You had mentioned earlier in the show that you had your tests, your home tested for mold.
Yes.
So do you believe that that test was accurate and that this was just new stuff that happened? Or do you think maybe it was an inaccurate home mold test? Because thank goodness I've never dealt with mold, but I know a lot of people do. And I know that it could even be worse than dealing with Lyme and the co-infections from what I see within the community. But I know that just like our Lyme tests, there's so many that are inaccurate. Yeah. I have a dear friend, her name is Andy, and she's very, very into the mold scenario. And I know that not every test is treated equally. She says a lot of things, don't use this test because it's a waste of money. It's not going to give you the accurate answer. So I'm just curious if you know or if you ever went down that road.
I definitely went down that road. Excuse me. I definitely went down that road. My house was tested. I bought it in the fall and I don't remember what the weather was like. John basically told me that for an air trap test, if it's not humid and the mold isn't sporulating, then that could be inaccurate. The previous homeowner also gave me a document when I bought the house that they had had a mold inspection or a mold treatment, and it was $1,000. And so I thought, well, if that was a treatment, it probably didn't really do much unless they did it right before and it wasn't sporulating. And so I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I know exactly what you're talking about. Some of them can be very inaccurate. John uses a dust test and he literally cuts out part of the air filter if he can to test it. And so I have bugged him with every house that I have bought since then. He's sent me kits where I cut out the filter and I send it off and he'll test it for mycotoxins to make sure that I'm still free of that.
Oh, I love that. And it's so, you know, maybe people that don't go through Lyme or have a compromised immune system, maybe not react to the mold in homes, because I'm sure so many homes have mold, but no, forever, we're going to do that. So that's good. He's like a good friend to have in your back pocket, right?
Yeah. And I just know it as the dust test, but you have to test for mycotoxins. I know that's the key because obviously there's just mold in the air, you know, outside. So, mm-hmm. So, you know, the key is to know if there are mycotoxins.
Okay. Good to know. So you come in, you get your house all cleared, and then I take it you start treating for mold?
Yeah, I actually, as soon as we found out, Dr. White put me on an antifungal, and I can't remember how long between that and when the house got remediated, but when my roommate and I went to stay at a hotel, I started feeling better within like 3 days. So that was pretty amazing to me and a pretty good sign. And I remember that I had gone home to my parents' house for Christmas, and I was feeling better while I was gone at Christmas, but better is very relative when your body is healing from all of these things, because you could feel better and you still are like half your energy level, you know, or something like that. So yeah, after that was remediated, I can't remember how many months I stayed on the antifungal. But I'm still on cocktail as a preventative to keep Lyme in remission. And Dr. White has told me that that is just part of my daily life, and it's fine because it's just once a day. And she's even told me I could take it like 3 to 5 times a week, but I just take it every day to make sure that I'm taking it. So.
Yeah, no. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we do have a lot of PTSD when we get well, right? Because we're like, you know, many people are afraid to go out and go hiking, or they just want to live in a bubble, or they don't want to stay up past their bedtime, or they're afraid to drink alcohol. Not that I'm saying alcohol's good. I'm just saying there's so many things that we're so cautious about, right? And I get it. I was there too. And I feel that I worked through that emotional side, that PTSD side of Lyme disease. I don't believe that Lyme disease is just killing Lyme or the pathogens and then detoxing. It's a whole emotional side of it too, that you really have to peel the layers back, because I oftentimes explain it as almost going through a grieving process.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So we're grieving the life that we used to have. We're grieving the person we used to be. A lot of us grieve relationships that we've lost, finances that we've lost. Like there's a, you know, a whole part of what's very, very similar to the grieving process. And I think that you need to go through that in order to fully heal. But yes, then there is nothing wrong with what you're doing, right? We're being proactive now. And I think that one of the blessings from my personal journey is that I learned so much about my body. It sounds like you knew probably enough to be dangerous, like you said earlier, right? I knew so much about my body, and I just knew when something was off. And along all these years of my journey, I picked up so many tools and modalities and supplements that I just had this toolbox full of incredible tools. So be vigilant, right? Pay attention to your body, listen to it. And when you feel something is off, oftentimes I feel like, oh, okay, well, I think this is, you know, feeling a little off. Let me do this. Or, you know, we got to be more proactive. Don't be afraid. Don't live in a bubble, right? We lost too many years of our life. We want to go out and live it, but we also need to be cautious and be aware, because I truly believe that it's physical or emotional traumas that can rear Lyme's head again. Right. Yeah. And life is full of those. I know that recently I lost my stepmom, who I was really close to, and I was back home for several weeks. And when I got back home, something felt off. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've been well for 4 years. What's going on? Right. None of us are immune to it. You know, I try to keep my stress down. And then I realized that stress is our killer, right? And then things go through your head. Am I sick again? And I realized that it was my nervous system that got thrown out of whack.
Yes.
And I worked on my nervous system for a few weeks, and voila, like I feel just as amazing as I did beforehand. But it's just being in tune with your body and picking up on things and being proactive. Sorry, I kind of took over your show right there. I wanted apparently to share my story. But anyways, yes. And so there's nothing wrong with being proactive and doing the things. If we go back to that old stressful life and eating processed foods and all, you know, eventually it's going to catch up with us again. And we know what it's like to not be well. So when we are well, we're like, we're hanging on to this.
Yeah. Well, very similar to that. You know, it was in remission, I don't remember, for a year or a couple years. And I wanted to move to Charleston, South Carolina, where I'd wanted to move for a very long time. And I was dating somebody at the time, and I started to work at this startup. And the combination, I think, of moving, working at, you know, having this job that was more stressful to me than previous jobs, and then breaking up with this guy, that it was about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months after we broke up that I saw Dr. White for like my yearly checkup, and it had come back. And so I was kind of asking her, you know, and, but also when I moved here, the first apartment building that I lived in, I found out it had mold in it. And so I asked her, I said, do you think this is the mold? Do you think it's the stress? And she said, you know, it could be any of those things. So it definitely feels like sometimes, I always call it my kryptonite. Like I feel like mold is my kryptonite and it could set off Lyme. It, you know, I can walk in a building and I can smell it sometimes. When I was going through the treatment, I could smell it like very distinctly. And so I just, yeah, the hypervigilance, that is why I had to go to counseling and the PTSD, because I didn't want to walk in grass. And I just remember that, like, thank you, I'll stay on the sidewalk. You know, people would ask me, do you want to go hiking? No, I don't want to go hiking. I don't want to go. I wanted to go to the beach where there was no grass and there was water and sand and I was good. And so that was like what my body, I feel like, was craving, as far as like, this is my nature now. I don't want nature with hidden hidden things. I think I haven't mentioned this part either. I started treatment for Lyme disease on January 1st of 2020. So I was staying home and doing this treatment before the whole world shut down in March. And so there was the added element of, at first, Dr. White was like, you know, you're probably high risk for COVID. And so I was just like staying home. It was a blessing in disguise, because I could stay home and I could teach online and then I could go take a nap, you know? So there was a silver lining to it, but it was a very odd. And what I think what was most odd for me is, I know everyone was so affected by that year, but to me, Lyme disease trumped the pandemic in so many ways. Where it was like, I would wake up every morning and I would forget that was going on for like several minutes. And then I would remember that was happening, but it was like, I would wake up and I would be so achy, or I would just be distracted by some Lyme thing, that when I think of 2020, I think of Lyme disease. I don't think of the pandemic first. So anyway, fast forward when it was, when the Lyme returned, you know, Dr. White just said, you've done this, like, we'll just, you know, put you back on, I don't even remember if she put me back on the antibiotic, but I had to work my way back up on cocktail and, you know, be really aware of like stress and make sure that I created space for myself to rest and define what rest was for me. For a long time when I was in the thick of it, it was like watching TV was the only thing, because my body could rest and it distracted my mind. And so I would just watch like really great TV shows or really great movies. But then once I moved here and I was doing this job that I was sitting a lot, I realized that I needed to rest just by walking on the beach. And like, there was a lot of grieving on the beach. There was a lot of grieving those years of my life that I feel like I lost. Like, I went to grad school and I lived in Nashville for 6 years, and the whole time I was sick and I didn't know it for 4 of those 6 years. So I just feel like I missed out on opportunities and I had to grieve those. I feel like I missed basically all of my 30s, because it was like 32, 33, like all the way to 39. When I got to my 40th birthday, 2 of my friends went with me. We came here to Charleston, to one of the islands. And I just remember walking on the beach and like just being so glad that I made it to my 40th birthday healthy. Like, I was so thankful to, it was like, I don't care. I don't care what else is happening. Like, I'm finally healthy at 40. And that to me was like the biggest celebration, you know, and it was kind of like, very optimistic of like, okay, what can happen now? Because I finally can get out of bed and leave the house and, you know, do all of these things. And it, I think what was so hard for me too is that I wasn't, and what I've had to learn a lot since then was that I wasn't very kind to myself when I felt so awful. And it was such a slow fade that I didn't realize how awful I felt. And so there was just this expectation of, I have to live at this speed. I have to work this many hours. I have to do these things that I don't have the energy or capacity or anything to do. And so I've been on a big journey of like, what do I need today? What does my body need? What do I want? What do I hope for? And like naming those things and giving myself the space to do those things. And most of the time it's, I need more rest. And it might be mental rest. It might be physical rest. But that I'm so thankful for that part of the journey to be asking myself, what do I need? But then also that part of the journey where I feel like I am so in tune with my body, that I wasn't before. And so there have been really beautiful things that have come out of it. And that's totally been the redemption side of it. And also honestly, just things like this, or you know, somebody will text me, I got bitten by a tick. I'm like, okay, double bag it, send it off. You know, the whole bit. They're like, you can test a tick. I'm like, yes, I don't know why nobody tells us this, but yes, you can.
Wow. See, and that is just I have so many things I want to say on that, but that there are definitely more types of rest than just laying down, right? Yeah. In fact, I was scrolling through my phone because I recently shared something there were on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. I shared the different types of rest. Yeah, and of course, I can't find it real quickly. But it was interesting to me because there was two of them that I didn't really know what they were. I was like, oh gosh, I never really thought of that as being a form of rest. And so it's just, yeah, you don't just lay down and rest, right? There's mind rest, there's stress rest, there's body rest, there's mental therapy. You know, there really is something to say when a woman wants to go shopping, we call it our retail therapy, right? Like it's really a thing. and then just like what you're saying, I can't tell you, I don't even know if I can tell you that I've ever had a guest on my show that looking back on their Lyme journey, that they couldn't tell me there was some kind of blessing to it. Mm-hmm. And just kind of what you just said, you had a blessing from this, right? Yeah. We don't often discover it in the thick of things, right? We have to be on the other side of it and feel that healthiness in order to really be able to look back on it and reflect of all the different things that we learned along the journey. And then being able to share with friends, you know, if anybody ever hears my name or hears Lyme, I want them to connect the two, right? Because I've learned so much over my journey that please just let me share if the only thing I learned was a bullseye rash means you have Lyme disease. I mean, because I didn't even know that. I didn't know what Lyme was. I didn't know any of this stuff. Yeah. So it really is a blessing to go through this. And so because of this journey, I know that you are doing some coaching now, right? Like you're kind of venturing off into a business. And I know it's, you know, a lot of times people will turn into like health coaches or, you know, they'll go become a naturopath or practitioner. And yours I found very interesting because as we mentioned before, it's kind of like going through a grieving process. Who are we? Who were we? Who are we going to be? What do I feel could be a low stress job to keep me in remission, right? We have, whether we go through that emotional side, I think that always there's a little bit of it in the back of our mind, right? That crosses through when we're trying to make huge, huge life decisions. And so you are doing coaching, but it's more of a a life balance, like a goal achievement, a mindset, which I just find fascinating. And so I think a lot of people that once we reach the other side of this could really benefit from something like this. So can you share with us kind of what it is, what you do? And obviously we know what inspired you to do it, right?
So it really combines a lot of things from my background, because I taught graphic design in higher ed for 15 years, and I was starting to get into film and TV when I got diagnosed with Lyme disease, and I was going to grad school for film and TV to be credentialed to teach. But my favorite part about teaching was the mentoring or the coaching aspect. And, you know, especially when you're a young adult and you're about to get out in the world, like, we would talk about things that weren't just, you know, work related. We would talk about life. We would talk about moving to a big city, you know, just all those super transitional aspects. And so, you know, that all the transitions between moving or relationships are different, you know, work, but then also health things that might come up. And I'm by no means a health coach. Like, there are people who are specializing in that, but the mindset aspect really covers all facets of life. And when you recognize some of those limiting beliefs, whether it does have to do with your body, you know, I mean, I think mentally sometimes we can hold ourselves back where it's like, well, I couldn't do that before. And it's like, okay, well, let's take a baby step to see if you can. You know, for me, when I did finally get a puppy, I remember he had, you know, he was having an accident in the house, and I ran him outside, and I'm barefoot in the grass, and I'm like, hallelujah, we have just crossed across this where I just didn't even think about it, because I'm concerned about potty training my dog, you know? So there can just be limiting mindsets, I think, sometimes that we can be intentional about resetting those. And I mean, the brain science research right now is amazing. We can carve new neural pathways simply by repeating something in our mind. So you would get to choose if that's positive or negative. But then if you tie it to an emotion, that's even better. So honestly, for me, that was part of my brain retraining. And Dr. White, she told me at one point, she said, I think that your brain may still think that you're sick because your body is well now. And that, you know, that can look different for different people. And I can't even remember what program she told me about. And there's some really great, you know, somatic coaches and different things like that. But for me, it was more of that. And it was sitting in joyful memories. My faith is really important to me. So for me, it was specifically sitting in joyful memories where I felt like I was experiencing the presence of God. And so I would just sit in those memories for like 5 minutes at a time. And I had to be really intentional about doing that. So to me, it's all about intentionality, and it's all about the mindset shifts. And so in this coaching, we're looking at the different facets of life and creating, like, what are your big three goals this year that you want to accomplish? And for me, goal accomplishment can be kind of intimidating. I think when you feel so tired that you don't want to get out of bed, you're like, don't suggest a goal. You know, I don't
That's my goal, that I get out of bed.
So it's like, what is really important? What is exciting to you enough that you would like to see that happen in the next year? And so how can we, you know, reverse engineer that into the steps that you can take this quarter, this day, this week? And so, you know, for someone that is struggling with some symptoms, it's like, okay, is this a realistic goal? And even if we have to put the deadline off a little bit, what baby step can we take today, or next step we can take today, where it's like, you're getting a win to see progress in that area? Because when you get more wins, you get more excited, and it's motivating. And that motivation, that like emotional connection to it, is the motivation that, you know, you can refer back to, where it's like, this is really hard today, but I do want to accomplish this because it's important to show my kids this, or it's important that I do this to prove to myself I can physically run a marathon, or whatever the thing is, you know? And so, that's what I'm working on right now. And I'm really excited about it. And we'll see what happens.
I love it. You know, we truly are our thoughts, the words that come out of our mouth, right? It's, we get it, right, Catherine? We get it. This journey's hard. It's hard to be positive. What could possibly come out of me feeling miserable all day, right? Like, how am I supposed to think positive? There is a way, right? Like, so many people, you can pretty much look anything up on YouTube and somebody will walk you through something, right? Whether you want to change your mindset or try to think more positive thoughts, because the thoughts and words that come in our mind and out of our mouth and our mindset, I will argue till my death, play a huge role in our healing process.
Yes.
It just does. And so it's hard to get there, right? But like you said, baby steps. I always say baby steps, because we want to see all the little celebrations, all the changes, all the progress that we've made. And don't forget to celebrate them, right? Yeah. Big or small, it doesn't matter. Every little one, we need that motivation, you know? Like, why do we want to keep going on if what I'm doing isn't working? Well, that's where tracking and journaling can really come into play as well, because you may forget how far you've come because a couple of your biggest issues, right, are still in the forefront of your mind. So you don't think about the other things that have improved. So journaling, tracking, mindset, just so much good stuff as part of this journey. And we only know this, right, because we lived it. We lived and learned.
Right. But I love what you said.
Oh, Catherine,
I was just going to say, I love what you said at the beginning. And now I've blanked out on what you said at the beginning. Oh, the hope. I love what you said at the beginning, that the hope, like, we are examples of the hope, and that this is why you do it, to give people hope. I just love that, because it is on your dark days, you want to hear someone's journey that they made it to the end. And I found that encouraging when I was in the darkest days. So I think what you're doing is amazing. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Back when I was sick, if I had a podcast to listen to like this, I think it could have made a world of difference, because we just need somebody who understands what we're going through, to truly understands, right? You can have a fantastic doctor, but they never had Lyme. Yeah. You know, you don't get it until you get it. And so I wouldn't have a show without guests like you coming on and being vulnerable and sharing your journey with us. So I appreciate you. I'm so, so happy that you are well, and super anxious to kind of follow you on your new coaching journey and your new venture in life, and love that you just ran out to potty train your dog in the grass and didn't think twice, right? That's a huge win in my eyes.
Definitely worth celebrating.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Likewise.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.